We start tonight with breaking news from the State House. Governor John Kasich has made decisions on multiple bills that were sent to his desk. About 1 hour ago, the governor vetoed the controversial heartbeat abortion bill. Under the bill, abortions would become illegal once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The Senate and House may override the veto with 3/5 of a majority. The House must override the veto first, and that would require 60 votes. This version of the bill passed the House with 53 yes votes, but there were at least 6 representatives who support the bill that did not vote when it passed that day.
When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
Regulation. What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. It's like giving someone the ability to go from bartender to congressman, only to find out that they want to use that freedom to make it so nobody else has that freedom. That's the mercy of the wicked, and it is cruel. My name is Marcus, and it is great to be back in this chair and talking to you guys and starting out a brand new year discussing how God's law applies to politics. Oh, by the way, we're on the Cross Politic Network, and you can join the Cross Politic Network by getting a club membership, and you should do that. So anyway, we're back after a pretty long Christmas break, and a lot has happened. I actually went to Florida for the Founders Conference, and I met with Tom Askell and Josh Bice and Jared Longshore and Dr. Vadi Bakum, and it was awesome, man. It was so good. That conference was dedicated in opposition to social justice. And so that conference really, man, like those brothers in the Southern Baptist Convention are just really fighting the war right now. Tom Askell and Jared Longshore, Josh Bice, you guys are amazing. And thank you so much for letting me spend time with you and hang out. And I just want to take a moment, and I'm going to probably do an entire episode on this conference, but I want to take a moment and I want to talk about Dr. Vadi Bakum's incredible talk that he gave on cultural Marxism. I believe it was on the first night. Yeah, it was the first night he spoke, and he gave probably one of the most thorough breakdowns of cultural Marxism that I have heard in a really long time. And the reason that talk, and it'll go up online at some point, I'm sure. I actually didn't film it, so don't send me emails asking where it is. It's going to go up. And that talk was so thorough and answered every single objection to people who oppose cultural Marxism, to people that support cultural Marxism. It answered their objections so thoroughly and concisely. I was listening to it, and when you listen to it, you'll see what he's doing. He's actually presenting every possible rejection or objection someone could have, and he's giving an answer for it that is so dead on and spot on. So the first one, of course, is he goes into the difference between classical economic Marxism and the difference between neo-Marxism, which is more this cultural Marxism thing that we're seeing now. And he just gets into that in such a, man, you guys have to watch this. because he overcomes objections with, he mentions that there are way too many people in prison. He mentions that we should fight for just abortion laws and preach the gospel at the exact same time. So he overcomes the objections that Christians should, quote, just preach the gospel and not worry about getting involved in politics. He talks about police brutality, and he really lays it out. He's like, hey, Christians should be concerned with these things. We should care about these injustices. And so just that'll be a teaser for you because it's so good. So anyways, I am spending the year working on Babies Are Murdered Here too. And so I'm imagining that a lot of these shows that I do over the coming few weeks anyway will be on abortion related issues. But over the Christmas break, there was one that really came up, and it was the Ohio heartbeat bill that passed in the House, and it passed in the Senate, and it got all the way up to Governor John Kasich, the pro-life candidate who was endorsed by Ohio Right to Life. That bill got to his desk, and it got vetoed. It got vetoed by pro-life Governor John Kasich, and he explained why he vetoed it, and I think the best answer for this, honestly, is just pure cowardice. John Kasich is a Republican, but he's a pretty liberal one. He's a pretty Democratic Republican for sure. And so let's just dive into this thing. So there's a heartbeat bill that's passed in that's passed in the House, passed in Ohio. Now, I'm going to come out on the record and say that it was not a good heartbeat bill and it was not a good bill. But that's not why John Kasich vetoed it. John Kasich didn't veto it because he told the House and Senate, go and make changes, make this stronger. No, he vetoed it because, well, this will certainly go to the Supreme Court and get overturned. This is certainly a bill that's going to be put in front of the Supreme Court and just embarrass us for passing such a law. And so, you know, that's statism, pure and simple, when the Supreme Court is the supreme law of the land. So before we get into his reasoning for vetoing it and the problem I have with John Kasich being pro-life. So John Kasich passed House Bill 258, which makes D&E abortions or dilation and evacuation procedures illegal in the state of Ohio. Nothing big there. Those have been done before. But if you notice in the bill that was passed in Ohio, Bill 258, it says that the abortion method and style can still be performed if it's, quote, a medical emergency. And that sort of vague writing and language, it leaves a lot to be desired. A medical emergency could be someone's going to be mentally unstable if she has a baby. That could be the medical emergency. There's no real clear identification as to what defines a medical emergency. And so that's a problem because the abortion doctor can say, if you have this baby, will you be in pain? And if the person says yes, they could define that as a medical emergency. So, you know, even to say the woman's life is in danger, the abortion doctor is the one who gets to make those decisions. And they're not honest people, you know, these abortion doctors. They murder children for a living. And so that's the problem with House Bill 258. But the problem with the ultrasound bill is it was unenforceable right from the get-go. The bill is unenforceable. So a lady by the name of Sarah Cleveland posted a video on her Facebook page that was fantastic, and I'll play a clip of it right here.
Regarding the internal ultrasound, so that's what's called the transvaginal ultrasound, that's protocol. That's how we see the babies when they are really tiny. We can see them when they're 2 millimeters big, only 26 days after conception. That's how early I can see them, but I'm looking for the baby. I see the baby. I know where to look. I'm taking good care of the baby and the mother. When this is written into the bill that actually specifically, and it's actually underlined, it's on page 8 of the heartbeat bill. It's actually underlined and actually says that they recommend to only do the external, which is called transabdominal or on top of the belly, and not an internal ultrasound. Hang on, bud. If anybody has any questions on that part of it, that's kind of really important to understand here, because this bill is being promoted as, you know, we can see babies really, really early, and this is going to outlaw those really early abortions. Well, how are we determining if there's a baby there, the age of the baby, all of that? It's based on a diagnostic test, and that's an internal ultrasound. And in this ultrasound, in this bill, they're saying that not to do that. So it's kind of confusing, but you wouldn't know that unless you go in there and read this. It's 26 pages long. I linked it on my page there, and I recommend, you know, don't take my word for it. Go in there and read what this actually says. Don't just get behind something just because it says it's anti-abortion or pro-life or whatever. Read what it says. Ultrasound is super, super operator dependent. Very operator dependent. Like, it's not going to do the pictures itself and all that kind of stuff. You have to do the correct settings. It's the picture's only going to take a picture of where the operator makes it take a picture. And so if we're trusting abortionists to tell the truth and take a picture, we're trusting murderers to tell the truth.
So as you can see from Sarah's video, who she is an OBGYN, and she does do ultrasounds, you can see that finding a heartbeat is not an easy thing to do. And if the burden to find a heartbeat is on the abortion doctor who profits from providing abortions and murdering children, they profit from murdering children. If the burden to find a heartbeat is on these people, they're just going to be like, oops, I'm sorry, as they stick the wand into someone's armpit. There's no heartbeat. And so you might say, well, that's just crazy. But that's exactly the kind of things that people do. And if you don't believe me, go to Apologia Studios. There's a testimony of that Zach Conover gave an interview. He did an interview of two people who were giving their testimony about how us being out there saved their child's life. And they said that they were in Planned Parenthood getting an ultrasound. This was their fifth kid. They didn't think they could have a fifth kid, or it was a fourth kid. And they didn't think they could afford it. And so what do? They go to the Planned Parenthood and they're getting an ultrasound, and the abortion doctor shows them a little tiny dot and says, see, it's nothing here, nothing to worry about. And they've had four kids. So they knew what an ultrasound image looks like. And they were like, this is crazy that they would even show me that. And they walked out. So if you think that abortion doctors are going to give honest ultrasound images and honest ultrasound results, you are mistaken. Serial killers, I don't know if you know this, but serial killers are not the most honest and trustworthy people. They're not. I wouldn't trust them with them agreeing to do my laundry. I wouldn't trust them. And so yeah, they're not honest people. And there's no way to determine if the doctor was honest or not, and if he found a heartbeat or not. There's no way to determine that. And so the bill is bad. This is the problem when you write bills to such a niche degree, like the abortion lobbies are doing right now, when they write bills that have a very specific set of standards that have to be maintained in order for the law to be valid. And then they leave that very specific set of standards in the hands of serial killers to make those judgment calls on. And we see stories all the time of abortion doctors being arrested for doing private abortions really late term, or illegal abortions, you know, late term, or just illegal methods. We see them being arrested all the time for that. That's what happened, because let's just be honest about what abortion doctors are. They're bloodthirsty serial killers, and that is their adrenaline rush, killing children. That's their adrenaline rush. So they're not just going to do it 9 to 5. Most of them have really dark underground stories. And so that's the truth. And so that's why the heartbeat bill is bad. But John Kasich didn't veto it because he wanted to outright eliminate abortion in Ohio, and that bill wasn't good enough. He vetoed it out of fear and cowardice. Now, here's what he says, and this is from Cincinnati.com. He says, the central provision of the heartbeat bill, that an abortion cannot be performed if a heartbeat has been detected in an unborn child, is contrary to the Supreme Court of the United States' current ruling on abortion. Now, like I said, John Kasich is a statist. And for him, the supreme law of the land, you know, it's interesting. it's just interesting how he places the Supreme Court as the ultimate authority. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the Weekly Standards article. This article is actually from 2015. I've been doing my research on this Kasich guy. Here's what Kasich said, according to Schrempf, his campaign spokesman. There are restrictions that we put in. We've done a lot of things in Ohio affecting abortions after 20 weeks. But until that law changes, that's the law. If the court makes a ruling, they make a ruling. But I think there are absolutely legitimate and constitutional restrictions that can be put in. So essentially, we can't just end abortion, and we can't even put in good, like strong restrictions, because the Supreme Court will just overturn it, and it's already a quote law, and it's not a law. The Supreme Court doesn't make law. I mean, I remember this from civics class, and we had to figure out if the executive branch made laws, or if the judicial branch made laws, or if the legislative branch made laws, right? And there's like a multiple choice, and you put in, or you draw a line. You draw a line, it'll say legislative branch, and you draw a line that says make laws, and judicial branch rule over laws, and then the executive branch, you know, whatever they do now, they operate the military. So you would just draw the lines. And so the fact is, the Supreme Court doesn't make laws. Now, it does rule to laws, but it rules to laws according to a case-by-case basis. So, for example, the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe v. Wade was only about Roe v. Wade, that specific case, that specific instance. And it does allow other people to make laws in accordance and like Roe v. Wade. However, Roe v. Wade itself is not a law, and that's important because that means that a heartbeat bill can actually go to the Supreme Court again and be ruled on as a completely separate and distinctive case from Roe v. Wade. It's pretty basic stuff here. It's pretty basic stuff. When the Supreme Court issues a ruling, it doesn't make it the law of the land. There has to be laws that are enacted after the fact. And so, anyways, all that to say, John Kasich believes that the Supreme Court is the highest law of the land. This is from CNN in August 17th, 2015. The headline is, Kasich says, I don't read a Bible to figure out what I think. So understand this. This guy does not base his ruling, and he does not base his rule in Ohio as something that is founded in the Word of God. But what does he found his ruling on? He says, I think abortion is an important issue, but I think there's many other issues that are really critical. Early childhood, infant mortality, the environment. Really? In comparison to abortion? It's crazy. It's just, that's crazy. We'll get into why I'm really mad about this in a minute. Wow. The environment, education. I think we focus too much on just one issue. And now that the issue of gay marriage is kind of off the table, we're kind of down to one social issue. So abortion is just one simple social issue to this guy. I can't. This guy doesn't care about abortion other than the fact that he has to as a result of his platform. This is not a governor who is truly going to send in the troops, per se, to protect babies should something hit the fan and a law actually is passed that makes abortion legal. This guy doesn't have the guts to be a hero to children. That's all there is to it. He doesn't have the guts to be a hero to children. He's not going to be a hero for babies, for little boys and girls who are in their mother's womb. It's not going to be John Kasich. So how did he become governor of a pro-life state like Ohio? Well, let me introduce you to the Ohio Right to Life. And I had to dig down deep in the Google searches, looking year after year for this. But believe it or not, Ohio pro-life group, the Ohio Right to Life, backed pro-life Governor John Kasich for re-election. And this is what they say about John Kasich. Under Governor John Kasich's pro-life leadership, Ohio abortions have dropped to all-time low. In 2012, 25,473 abortions were performed in Ohio, down half from the record high of over 45,000 abortions performed in the 1980s. Over the last 4 years, Governor Kasich has signed into law 12 Ohio Right to Life initiatives, including the defunding of Planned Parenthood and a late-term abortion ban. In 2012, Ohio witnessed a 30% drop in abortion after 19 weeks. Let me just say that I do believe that John Kasich wants abortion to be ended. I don't think that he has ulterior motives. But we have to understand something. When 40 million children have been slaughtered, we don't need cowards in office. We don't need people who check the boxes so that they get endorsed by the local lobbyist groups. Now, this is the Ohio Right to Life. They put him in office, and this man shudders at a heartbeat bill. He shudders at a heartbeat bill. That's not a bold hero. That's not a man that I want leading my state. I want someone that's going to stand on the courage of his conviction and use all the power of his bully pulpit as governor to shut abortion down. And it's not going to happen with somebody like this. And shame on the Ohio Right to Life for endorsing him. Now you say, John Kasich, there really was a reduction in the number of abortions that happened during his terms. There really was a reduction of abortion that happened over the past few years. So I want to propose that the abortions in the state of Ohio have not decreased, but they've actually increased. However, they're just not being counted as such. And so I want to do an analogy for you. Imagine for a moment you're a taxi cab driver in New York City, highly, highly regulated, millions of dollars in licensing just to get a little gold medallion that lets you drive a taxi cab. $1 million, $500,000, $750,000. These are all the prices that taxi cabs have gone to. And you can only do it for so many hours a day, so many times, and only certain parts of the state. And along comes Uber and Lyft. And suddenly, people are getting rides from Uber and Lyft, and you're the taxi cab driver who just spent $1 million on a taxi cab license. And suddenly people aren't calling you anymore. They're not waving you down. They're not standing on the sidewalk whistling for you. But man, are they going for Ubers and Lyfts. So you have to ask the question, did the ride sharing industry drop because the taxi cab industry failed? And the answer is no. It increased. The amount of people that borrow rides or grab rides has increased dramatically. I mean, I've used Uber and Lyft several times in the past. I don't even know how many times I've used Uber and Lyft. I mean, when my car was broke and when I didn't have a car, I've used Uber and Lyft, but I've never used a taxi cab. I've never called for a taxi cab. I've ridden in one if someone was with me and they flagged one down, like one time when I was in New York City a long time ago. But I have never waved down a taxi cab. So is it fair for me to say that the taxi cab industry is seeing a reduction and people aren't using cab services anymore? No. And you're probably saying, Marcus, what does this have to do with abortion? And I'll tell you, because when you regulate an industry, water slowly erodes away at rock and capitalism finds a way through. Capitalism finds a way. It's like in Jurassic Park when he says nature found a way. Well, capitalism will always find a way. It does. And it removed itself from the incredible restrictions on taxi cabs by just downloading an app and calling it Uber and Lyft and calling it ride sharing. Not a taxi cab service. It's ride sharing now. Right? So these abortion legislations, whether it's the quality of an abortion clinic or whether or not a doctor has to be licensed or whether or not there's expensive fees to operate an abortion clinic or whatever the case may be, whatever regulations we impose on these abortion clinics, the problem is that these regulations only fuel an Uber and Lyft for abortions. And that's the abortion pill. It's way easier to go to Walmart or go to CVS or Walgreens or wherever that carries an abortion pill and just take the pill and you don't need an abortion. And it's the pro-life groups who have been regulating the abortion industry that has made these pills so commonplace in our nation. So this is why a heartbeat bill doesn't matter. This is why getting rid of D&E abortions don't matter. Because the more you regulate this industry, the more you regulate it, the more that you're going to provide opportunities for capitalism to find a way around these regulations, and you're going to make abortions easier to procure over the counter at your local drugstore. So this is why we need godly governors, godly legislators that will stand up to these sort of pro-life lobbyist groups and these sort of pro-life bills and say, look, the only thing I will sign that comes across my desk in dealing with abortion is an outright ban that bans these pills as well. Because if I sign one and don't get rid of the other, I'm only going to fuel the production of the other. And it's going to be far worse and far harder to defeat. So that's the thing we have to keep in mind. These pro-life organizations are functioning like a liberal. They're not functioning like a conservative. They're functioning like people who think it's okay to regulate things. And as Christians, as conservatives, even as Republicans, we should oppose regulation on industry. We should oppose it, whether it's regulation on the taxi cab industry or whether it's regulation on abortion clinics, because it's going to find a way, capitalism is going to find a way to get around those regulations. It's just going to happen. This is why you have companies like Bird and Lime and these scooter companies. And instead of asking permission from the government, they come in the middle of the night and they drop 1,000 scooters in a city. And suddenly they're everywhere. And before the government can do anything to regulate it, it's too late. The people already want it. They already utilize it. They already see the value and the benefits of it. So what we need to do is we need to come in overnight and we need to get rid of abortion. We need to ban it outright. And we need someone with guts that will do that. And we need to stop regulating things. We're conservatives, for goodness sake. How can we be conservatives and say we're Christians, we're against the regulation of healthcare from the government, we're against the government being involved in healthcare. We think the church should be the primary giver of mercy ministries. The church should be involved in healthcare. How can we say that and then turn around and vote for candidates that regulate abortion clinics to make sure that they meet the standards of the local healthcare facility? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And so this is what bothers me. This is what bugs me when you see someone like John Kasich, who's more worried about the environment as a serious issue when children are dying. Why did the Ohio Right to Life ever take someone seriously that would say such a thing? Why did they ever give him money? There are people that are donating to those pro-life organizations, and that money is going to get people like this in office. They're not helping. They're not helping. So, I really fired me up. But anyways, that's it for this episode of Law and Profits. And thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for commenting on the show and sharing the show and letting people know about us. And also, thank you to everybody that's joined the Cross Politic Club. Thank you for signing up and becoming a member and getting Shotgun Worldview series and all the behind the scenes things that you get. But also, most importantly, thank you for helping build something. Thank you for helping be a part of creating a new sort of Christian media. I really appreciate it. It really means a lot. And those guys in Moscow are really building something amazing. And just your club membership really contributes to the growth and their vision and their dreams that are 4, 5, 6 years down the road, or hopefully sooner, if you support them. So fight, laugh, feast, and build something. Help build something amazing. And so again, thanks for watching Law and Profits, and I'll see you next week.